Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a certain piece of choir music created by composer Knut Nystedt. It's called The Path of the Just. The piece is based quite strongly on a portion of our Old Testament reading for today, verses 18 through 23 of Proverbs chapter 4. What is striking in this singing piece is the composer's use of dissonance, the sound of differing notes that are not in harmony with each other. They clash. Nystedt intentionally uses notes by all parts of the choir that are in tension with each other. If you've ever heard such a sound, you long for the resolution, the time when that dissonance is ended and beautiful harmony results. There are moments of true consonance at various moments throughout the piece, but the harmony truly shines through in the end, thankfully and most gloriously so. The tension of those notes in that piece play well with this idea of the just and the wicked coexisting in this world, even within ourselves. The Old Testament, God had established vocabulary for such distinctions using the words clean and unclean. He gave the Hebrew people of old strict guidelines on how to achieve their cleanliness, ceremonially so, for day-to-day living, and how they were to maintain that condition for ongoing life in the presence of their fellow Hebrews. Before too long, however, the Hebrews began to utilize those distinctive terms with regard to themselves as Hebrews and those outside of their own denomination, the non-Hebrews. So the Hebrew word for the non-Hebrew was typically that of the nations, those outside of Israel. And in the Greek, that word became translated as Gentiles. Peter later would comment on this very notion of clean versus unclean in the sense of people. When he is shown a sheet covered with clean and unclean animals, he states in this vision that he has never eaten anything unclean, following those strict guidelines as a faithful Hebrew. But God therefore declares to him that what God says is clean is clean, referring then to the Gentiles and giving Peter permission to interact with them, to speak with them, and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ even into their own midst. The tension between clean and unclean is present when Jesus is approached in our gospel by 10 lepers. Though they come to him from afar, they are not permitted within a certain distance of anyone who is considered clean in the Jewish custom. And so they must call out to whomever they speak from a safe distance. But they request help from Jesus in the form of our very own Kyrie, Lord, have mercy. Knowledge of Jesus' healing power by the power of his word is present with these men, hence their request for his help. A further tension exists in this story because of the current location, the border between Galilee in the north and Samaria in the middle. Galilee was considered of the Jews clean territory as their own dwelling place. But the Samaritans were not full-blooded Jews, and so were considered unclean, likely even worse than Gentiles. Yet Jesus is not limited in his interaction with them. He answers out to their cry for mercy, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Only a priest could officially declare a Jew to be ceremonially clean, following such a dreadful condition. And so an examination would indeed be performed, and if passed, then the declaration could be made, sacrifices made by the individual once more. And so as these men were journeying to the priests, all 10 were cleansed. Could they feel it? Could they tell instantly that they were well? Had their appearances to each other changed so that they knew? We're not told. Chances are that all were made aware of their healing at about the same time. But only one saw fit to turn back immediately. Only one offered up praise to God instantly. He fell at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. The Greek word there for thanks in this verse is eucharisto, from which we get the translated name, the alternate name of our Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And what is interesting here is that in all the other uses of eucharisto in the New Testament, the direct recipient of that thanks is God Almighty. Here, it is Jesus who is the recipient of this thanks. And so Luke assuredly in his writing wishes to communicate to his audience Jesus' true nature as God in human flesh. And perhaps even the one leper was brought to this great understanding as well. For Jesus' disciples, for all the Jewish audience present at this time, being ceremonially clean was an important part of their everyday lives as Jews. For all, imagine if you had to live your life being fully aware of your surroundings at all times. You'd be constantly thinking about what is nearby to you, even in a place like this, and evaluating if it would make you clean or not. You would always be on the lookout for mold, for unclean animals in your midst, and for surface skin conditions of those nearby that could make you unclean. While Christians today do not have to worry about that same type of ceremonial cleanliness, we do need to be concerned about our sins and about our own righteousness. God wants all of His redeemed in Christ to do the good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. He wants you as His people, His chosen ones, to abstain from sinfulness, to keep His commands joyfully with a glad heart. We too need to be aware of our surroundings at all times, the things that we come into contact with in this life that are not in harmony with God's Word and His will. These things can easily lead us into false belief about Christ and thus seek to destroy, to weaken our faith. All 10 lepers were cleansed by Jesus fully and instantly, and only one returned to give Him thanks and praise, and he was a Samaritan. Now that would be a stunner for all those around Jesus at that time and all those who would hear such a story retold. The Jews, after all, were the favored ones, the chosen descendants of Abraham as their father. And so having a Samaritan in the positive light was certainly no good. But here again, an actual miracle of Jesus can serve to illustrate His work of salvation for all. By Jesus' blood shed on the cross, all sins are paid for. The path of eternal life is open to all people, just like all 10 were cleansed. And yet not all will finally be saved, will have eternal life in His kingdom. This is not Jesus' fault. His work is complete. Salvation is assured. Forgiveness fully won. But rather, the fault is that of the unbeliever. The gift has been purchased, and it has been given freely. The unbeliever has not received it. He or she has refused it. Rather than be clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, the unbeliever remains covered in their own sin. That is precisely how God sees it. No gray areas at all. by God's good grace, given to you in word and in sacrament freely and abundantly. You have received the saving work of Jesus for the salvation of your souls. Like the Samaritan leper, you have realized the healing that you have received, and you thus return to give thanks to Jesus. You are now just in God's sight because of Christ. And as the Spirit works in you each and every day, you are constantly being sanctified. That is, you are being brought more and more into the harmony of God's Word, into understanding of His will. As that occurs, you do then value more and more God's righteousness, what is truly just and good. You see the path of God in your own life as the beautiful and glorious way that it is. You resonate then quite well with the words of Solomon to his son in Proverbs chapter 4. The path of the just, the righteous, is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. You are on the path of the just. The Holy Spirit is the one who has placed you square on that path through Jesus' own saving work. You have heard the words of Christ spoken to you, announcing you forgiven for His great sake, clean in God's sight forevermore. They are indeed harmonious and a delight in your ears. Those words are life to you and healing to all your flesh, your very being. Those words are God's words, Christ's word. Faith in those words, in Christ's word, that has made you well, as Jesus announced to the leper. That dissonance that you had with God has been resolved in Christ most gloriously, for He alone has given you that sweet sound of harmony in your ears. For it is the name of Christ that is what you hear for forgiveness, for life, for salvation forevermore. Sweet harmony indeed. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.